Good day to you. We are grateful and thankful for you joining us today. This is called Let the Bible Speak, and that is really what we are going to try to do with every bone in our body is let the Bible speak. You know, it's an amazing thing that God has left us directions. He has left us information. He has left us promises, and he's even left us commands to obey. And so as we dig into his word, we will find the answer to every question that we have ever had about anything that pertains to life and godliness. You can participate today if you have a question about what the Bible says. Maybe you heard something in church today. Maybe you've been doing your own reading, and that has elicited some questions in your own mind about something the Bible says. And so if you'd like to participate in our program today, you can do so by one of two ways. Three ways, but first way you can do that is just call the station. That number is 308-9564. You can also text us at 725-9283 with your Bible question. Now, the third way is that you can call that first number, 308-9564, and go on live on the air and communicate with us on that that way. And if you do so, we would appreciate if you'd give us your name and state your question, and then we can have a gentlemanly dialogue concerning what the Bible says. So we just encourage you to participate in this program. This is for you. This is a service that we provide, and we always enjoy hearing from you, the listener, about questions that you have. And some of your questions may make us study a little bit. And that's good. We appreciate that. But most importantly, we want to let God be the one who is going to settle every question, every issue, every problem we have in life. That God is the one who is the creator of life. He's the one that raised Jesus from the dead. And we will meet him in judgment. But he has prepared us for all that by his word. What a blessing that is, and let's not let that blessing slide today. Let's participate in this program by letting the Bible speak.
Now's your opportunity if you want to join us right now. The lines are open, 308-9564. That's the number. If you want to call in your question right now, today is the 26th of July, 2015. We are glad to have you here listening, and hopefully you are ready to ask questions. And we will go directly to the Bible for those answers. So don't wait till the end of the program. Many of you know that at the end of the program, the questions tend to pile up, and sometimes we're not able to get to all the answers, and we apologize for that, but sometimes that does overwhelm us toward the end. So if you have a question of maybe something that happened today or something that is on your mind or on your heart, don't wait. Go ahead and call right now, 308-9564. That is the voice line. If you'd rather text, we live in a day of technology, you can text us right now at 725-9283. That is the text line. Now, if you have friends or relatives that are in other part of the world, they do not have to be left out. If you consider this program a blessing, why not include them in this? There's two ways that they can join us right now in this program. It is a live program. And they can either go to our website, which is www.biblealone.com, or if they have a smartphone, they can tune in with an app called TuneIn Radio, and then search for this radio station, which is WJNI 106.3, and then they can join us right now live anywhere in the world. So either way that you would have, if you will share with them this information that they can join us, that they should be listening to this, because we're going to go to the Bible, directly to the Bible, and nothing but God's Word for the answers to the questions on your mind. So join us. Go ahead and call right now. Let your friends and relatives around the world know about this, and we will go to the Bible for those answers. Again, the voice line. And oh, by the way, when you contact those relatives, let them know this is area code 843. So be sure not to let that out, to be sure to share that with them so that they do not get left out. The number, the area code is 843. The voice line, 308-9564. The text line, 725-9283. Either way that you would like to communicate with us, now is your chance, because you set the theme, you set the topic, you set the discussion of what we're going to be talking about, but God will give the answer as we go to His Word for the answer. And we make no apology for that, because Galatians chapter 1, verse 8 and 9, even Paul himself indicted himself when he said, "Though we or an angel from heaven preach any other gospel to you than what we have preached to you, let him be accursed." So that's why we are very fervent about letting the Bible speak.
One of the things that is so, so important and unique about our God is that our God seeks people to be saved. You ever think about that? Most people talk about, well, you know, we got to do this and we got to do that and we got to obey God and whatever. But God is seeking us. John chapter 4 and verse 24 says, "God is a spirit, and those that worship Him must worship Him in spirit and in truth." And the verse before that, in verse 23, it says, "God seeks such to be His worshipers." That is a very, very overwhelming thought, that God is seeking us to worship. And that is a wonderful, wonderful thing. God's looking for us. And so we need to be able to do the reciprocal thing and to be seeking Him. And so He's seeking us, John 4:23, and we should be seeking Him.
You know, a lot of people will say that all religions are doing the same thing. They'll say we're all trying to climb the mountaintop to get to God. And one person with one religion might be on one side of the mountain, and another person with their religion is on the other side of the mountain, but it's the same mountain going to the same place. And the difference between Christianity and every other religion in the world is that we have a God, like was just said, we have a God who came down the mountain to us. He came to where we are. It's like God punched a hole in heaven and sent His Son to the earth to be where all of His lost people were so He could save our lives. That kind of love and persistence from God is the kind of love that wins our hearts, the kind of love that not only saves us, but really humbles us and breaks down our pride so that we realize the greatest joy we could ever have is to love that God back with all of our heart, with all of our soul, with all of our mind, with all of our strength.
That is so very important. That's Frederick Gray that is visiting with us, and he is our guest today as we go to the Bible. And so you would be welcome to call in your questions, and one of us will be able to go and find the answer in God's Word. So now's your chance, 308-9564. That is the voice line where you can call in. Your question can be written down and brought into us. Or if you'd rather, you can go live over the air. If you want to go live over the air, all we ask is be ready to turn down your radio so there will not be a confusing echo, and be ready to give us your name so that we can address you politely. And so that's why that we ask for that information. Other than that, go ahead and call in your questions right now at 308-9564, and we will let the Bible speak to the question that's on your mind. If you'd rather, you can text us at 725-9283, 725-9283. You see, the world is filled with a lot of questions, and the devil continues to ask confusing questions and twisted questions, but God always gives us clarity. In 1 Corinthians chapter 14, it brings out that God is not the author of confusion, but of peace. So, if you have a question and you want to know the answer, God's Word will bring clarity. It will bring peace to your life if you will just listen to what God says, if you will go directly to His Word for the answer. It will not bring about confusion in any way. And thus, it's able to give us a peace in another place in Philippians chapter 4 that passes understanding. That's what God will give us. It is man, the devil, that causes questions and thus creating confusion. God is not going to be part of that at all. It'll be clear on Judgment Day. But ladies and gentlemen, please don't wait till then. Why not get the answers to those confusing things right now? Why not get your answers from God's Word? As we go to the Bible, we will go to the Bible for all the answers that you bring in today. Again, the voice line is 308-9564, 308-WJNI. You can call that line right now, and we will go to the Bible for those answers. Or, if you would rather text us, you can text us at 725-9283. It's about time for us to take our first break. While we are at break, please know that you can continue to call in your questions where you set the topic and you set the theme. God will give the answers. Now, what we're going to be telling you about is this correspondence course. By the way, it is free. You can study it anytime you want to at your own convenience. And thus, you will actually be blessed more from studying on your own than you would be by listening to us on the radio. Because you can choose the time, whether it's in the morning or in the evening, and thus you'll get 10 times more out of studying the Bible for yourself rather than listening to us. I know we're in a habit of listening to others proclaim to us, but hey, let's let our faith be built by the Word of God. Faith comes by hearing, hearing by the Word of God. And so let's go to the Bible directly for those answers. So be sure to call for this Bible correspondence course. Here's more information on it. If you're already one of our students, then go ahead and call in your questions, 308-9564. We'll be right back. We want to thank you so much for tuning in today, and thank you for all of you that have already responded to the program's call for questions. We have three on deck. We'll do what we can. But before we get to the ones that were sent in, we have a live caller standing by. And so, caller, I believe you're on the air. Can you tell us your name to begin with, just your first name?
Hello?
Hello?
Are you there? Okay, we're working. Don't hang up yet if you're still there.
But be saying something so we can hear you.
Okay, we can't hear
you. Can't hear you.
All right, if you will call back and have your question written down. Oh, wait a minute. Now we can hear you. Go ahead. We can hear you now.
This is so long.
How can we help you? You're on the air. How can we help you? One more chance. Okay. All right. Well, try to call back and have your question written down, and we will go to the Bible for the answer. We sure do appreciate your call and your desire to know what God wants. And so we have a caller from the last three digits of 113 of their phone number. They want to know, could you give, here's the question. Is shouting, hollering, fainting, in the church, is that an emotional reaction or is it the Holy Spirit? Well, caller, what I would do is I would direct you to what God says in 1 Corinthians chapter 14, where the whole chapter is dealing with how to behave in worship services. And so he says that even all the way back to chapter 11 of 1 Corinthians, where he's telling them how they are supposed to behave when they come together into one place. And he says in the chapter, the bottom line, the last thing he says on that topic in that chapter, he says is, let all things be done decently and in order. And so when you look and you see that kind of behavior going on in a service, some people, I think probably most people, would not call that a decent behavior or orderly behavior at all. And then when you couple it with some of the details that are mentioned in 1 Corinthians 14, where they are told to speak one at a time, and it's supposed to be, if someone is talking, then everybody else is supposed to keep silent in the church. If there's no interpreter, they're supposed to keep silent. Verse 28, And then also he says during that worship service in verse 34 that women are to keep silent and that men are to keep silent if there's more than one speaking. And so there is an orderliness that is described there in 1 Corinthians 14 that what you described in your question is totally different than what we see. And so thank you. That's 1 Corinthians chapter 14. If you don't mind, just go all the way back to verse 19 and read through the end of the chapter. It is dealing with the abuses and attitudes of miraculous gifts that they had at that time. But if you will, just as you read the whole thing, you will see how God depicts what orderly behavior is supposed to look like. And that'll be a clear answer to your question. Thank you so much for your desire to know what God says in His Word, and it's our honor to help you. Again, that's 1 Corinthians 14, verses 19 through the end of the chapter. If you have a question, go ahead and call right now, 308-9564. That's 308-WJNI, and we will go to the Bible for the question that is on your mind. So if you have a desire to know what God says, then please call in your question right now, 308-9564, or you can text us at 725-9283.
We have another text question. The last three digits are 818. And this is asking about instrumental music. It says, is there anything wrong with music and instruments during church service? Well, since this program is called Let the Bible Speak, let's go to the scriptures and see if we can find anything in there that talks about this idea. Well, one of the first things we want to talk about is that, well, what makes a thing right? Well, what makes a thing right is that it would be a command of God. You know, in Matthew chapter 28, when Jesus sent the apostles out to preach to the whole world, in verse 20 he says, and teach them to obey all things whatsoever I've commanded you. And so as we go into the Bible, we can see all things that Jesus commanded the apostles to do. So concerning this idea of singing and praising God, we have Ephesians 5:19 that says, speaking to one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing, making melody in your heart to the Lord. That's simply talking about speaking to each other. Obviously, there's no reference of an instrument there, but simply making melody in your heart. Let's go on to another passage. That will be in Colossians chapter 3. And in Colossians chapter 3, very similar passage, verse 17, verse 16 actually, is where that's found. And it says, let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord. So again, we find emphasis upon teaching and admonish and the type of songs we're to sing and that we're to do it with grace in our hearts. And then one more passage in Hebrews chapter 13, it also talks about the idea of singing with the Lord. And here it talks about it as a sacrifice. So let's go to that passage. Hebrews chapter 3, verse 15 says, therefore, by Him, that is by Jesus, let us continually offer the sacrifice of praise to God, that is, the fruit of our lips, giving thanks to His name. And every single one of these had reference to what we do with our mouth and what we do with our heart, but there was no mention of an instrument. And so if we're going to do all things that we are commanded of God, then that's what it says. And the instrument obviously is missing.
I'd like to add a little bit to that, just piggybacking off the same verses and looking at what God said in Ephesians 5, Colossians 3. You know, it's interesting. Everybody likes music. We create instruments that make music. And those are instruments that we as people have created. But God created an instrument as well. He created the instrument of our voice. And what we see is He created the instrument of our heart. And I believe that philosophically, when you look at the Bible, He created something that pleases him. Now, what's the primary emphasis? This is really important because of how people, you know, I come from a performing background, and I know how easy it is to turn music or singing of any kind into a performance. And it's really important to notice in Ephesians 5, the melody that we are commanded to do is made in our heart. And the words are the primary emphasis, the teaching and admonishing from Colossians 3. These words are supposed to be in our heart. The words are important. And I want to suggest, even if somebody is mute, even they can please God with their singing, because the emphasis is not how it sounds. The primary emphasis is not singing in tune and making sure we have a band behind us. The primary emphasis is giving a sacrifice, like Hebrews 13 verses 15 and 16 say, giving a sacrifice to God that he says is pleasing to him. How many times do you think the Bible talks about us doing something that actually pleases God? Well, the fruit of our lips, making melody in our heart, when it's centered around us and teaching each other, but the words of Christ in our heart. I just want to add to that, that if we just look at the Bible, God is very concerned with how we sing. And he wants us to sing, making melody in our heart with these words that are the sacrifice to him, but also teaching and encouraging each other.
Thank you. That's Frederick, and he's our guest today. And so you might have a question you might want to specifically ask him about. You're welcome to do that. But by all means, get your question in today as we go to the Bible, as we let the Bible speak. And we are so thankful to be able to be in your ear and that you have an interest in knowing what God says in his word. If you have a question, go ahead and call right now, 308-9564. That's 308-9564. That is the voice line. Or you can text us at 725-9283. We have Shante calling in this question, that God gave everyone a special gift. How do you find out what your special gift is so that you can help others? Well, Shante, I certainly want to commend you in the motive of your wanting to find out what your gift is. That is so right to do. And if you will look in Romans chapter 12, you will see there a number of gifts or charisma that is used in this passage. And he says in verse 6, having then gifts differing according to the grace that is given to us, let us use them. If prophecy, let us prophesy in the proportion of our faith. If ministry, let us use it in ministry and teaching and teaching. In he who exhorts in exhortation, he who gives with liberality, he who leads with diligence, he who shows mercy with cheerfulness. And so we're getting the idea here that God expects us to use whatever abilities that we have that are godly, that would honor him in his service, especially when it comes down to accomplishing the things that he has told us to do. And thus teaching or exhorting or giving or mercy or all of these things are instructions that are being carried out that God wants us to do. In a nutshell, Shante, it is wrapped up in John 14:15, where Jesus says, if you love me, keep my commandments. That will be pursuing those things that Jesus has told us to do, and that he will be honored in us doing those if he is the one that is getting the glory. Matthew 5 and verse 16, let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works. But then the next verse, or the next phrase says, that they may give honor to your Father in heaven, so that they may see your good works, that they may glorify your Father who is in heaven. So it's all about God. It's all about Jesus, what they have done, and how we can honor them. We just here in America do not comprehend how to honor someone. We do not live in a society where people are reverenced and honored as kings are in other parts of the world. And thus, we've lost touch with how to honor and show respect. Many times, marriages are on the rocks because they do not know how to honor and respect. We are losing that part of our ability. And so that is something we need to learn and see how they honor and respect God in God's word and what God expected them to do to show that honor and respect. And then we will be pursuing that with every ability and gift that we have, and thus we will be pleasing to our God. So I hope that is helpful to you, Shantae. Then again, that was Romans chapter 12, verses 6 through 8, and there's many other passages that deal with that subject. Thank you so much. It's time for us to take our next break. While we are at break, please know that you can continue with your questions, either your voice through the phone line of 308-9564, or you can text us, as this last question was, and we will be glad to go to the Bible for, is this a live caller?
No.
Oh, okay. All right, and so we will go back to a question coming up, and right after our break, Ronald has just called in, and we will deal with yours in just a second. While we are at break, continue with the questions. Again, 308-9564, or you can text us at 725-9283. We'll be right back. We're back live now. We want you to know that we are honored to be in your presence, and hopefully your heart is being touched by the things that we see in God's Word. If you have a question, don't hesitate to call right now. The Bible Correspondence course that we told you about is free. It is something that you will be blessed from if you will just go ahead and enroll by calling that number, 553-5157. The lines are open for that, so go ahead and call, and we will get that in today's or tomorrow's mail so that you might be able to get that this week and begin your study into the treasure that is contained in God's Word. By the way, by studying this, you may be able to discover things that you have never seen before. And many of these things that we have, that we'll learn, were hidden from me when I was in a denomination. They just did not address some of these things, and that would have kept me from going to heaven. So, ladies and gentlemen, is there something that could have been missing in your Bible teaching that is not being addressed? Well, you will do yourself a favor if you will just at least explore these things to find out what is missing. Many of you may have that feeling, well, you know, they just don't teach Bible where I'm at. They talk about money, they talk about fun, but they don't talk about Bible all that much. Well, isn't it time to turn that around? Go ahead and get this course in the mail to you, 553-5157. It is absolutely free. It is not a bait and switch. We will never ask for your donation of any kind. So put away your checkbook. Do not send us your tithes and offering. Let us send you treasure. Go ahead and call 553-5157, and we'll get that in the mail this week. By the way, most churches today are restricted from telling you the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth, simply because they live and must stay within a denominational box, a doctrine. And if they go outside that box, they will be reprimanded and there will be penalties to pay in one sort or another. So let's just get out of that hole and find the truth. So go ahead and call 553-5157. We'll get it in the mail to you. You've got nothing to lose but darkness and sin. And you've got everything to gain from God's divine word. Let that light shine in your heart. Go ahead and call 553-5157. Okay, let's go ahead back to our questions. And Frederick, I think you've got a question here.
Yeah, this is a great question. The Supreme Court, and this is by a text with last digit, 7448. The Supreme Court legalized same-sex marriage. I heard a pastor say he won't marry them, but would allow them to be active church members, like being choir, usher, etc. How should the church respond, and Bible-believing Christians react? Yeah, this is a great question. Well, the first thing I would suggest is that this question and the issues in our country that created this question is exactly why it's so important that we just go to the Bible for a lot of these things. You know, we serve the King of Kings and Lord of Lords, and we don't have a new king every 4 to 8 years. And we don't have in the Bible We don't have God's word that might change here and there. God's word will last forever. And so that's where we can put our faith. So here's the next thing I would suggest is that we look at people the way God does. It's very important that we look at people the way God does. And Ephesians 4, verse 15, talks about speaking truth in love. The reason that's important is because God's word is truth, and God is love. We want to represent God that way with everybody. And we also want to look at people the way God looks at them. It's really interesting. David, the one who fought Goliath, he was getting ready to be made king. And when the prophet Samuel was going to anoint him in 1 Samuel 16, God makes a point. He says, I look at the inner man, but you people, you humans, you look at the outside. We need to look at people's hearts and look at who they are. And so what I want with everybody in response to this law change or what have you, I look at everybody the same as I want them to be a part of the body of Christ. Ephesians chapter 1, verses 22 and 23 say, tell us that the body of Christ is the church. And so there's a challenge that we have to let everybody know about the salvation message of Jesus Christ so they can be a part of the body of Christ and the church. And what the Supreme Court does doesn't change that. And whether people believe the Supreme Court over the Bible, it doesn't change that. You see, one of the exciting things about truth is it never changes no matter how many people believe it. It's the same. And some people, especially when you talk about gay marriage, this may get to be a touchy subject, especially with time going on, because some people will say Jesus never addressed gay marriage. It's not technically true. Because in Matthew 19, verse 3, you have a passage where this is what it says. Some Pharisees came to Jesus, testing him and asking, is it lawful for a man to divorce his wife for any reason at all? And he answered and said, have you not read that he who created them from the beginning made them male and female? That's a quote from Genesis 1, 27. And he said, for this reason, a man shall leave his father and mother and be joined to his wife, and the two shall become one flesh. If marriage is between a man and a woman, that is what God has created, and that's the example that God gives us in Ephesians 5 when he compares a bride and a groom to the relationship between the church and Jesus Christ, with Jesus Christ being the bridegroom and us being the bride. Nothing changes the truth, and nothing changes the fact we're going to share the truth with love with everybody.
Great. We appreciate that, Frederick. We have another question from Leon, and Leon asked a question about the attributes of God or Elohim. He says, how many attributes does Elohim have? Is Jesus Christ one of them? Well, my understanding of the word attributes is kind of like a characteristic. Love, joy, mercy, grace, righteousness, justice, wrath. Those are the kinds of attributes or actions of God, actions due to his attributes. He is eternal. Those another one of those attributes. But when it comes to Jesus, let's look at John chapter 1 and verse 1, and there we find how Jesus fits into this. Verse 1 of John chapter 1 says, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. And so that tells us that Jesus, being God, which is also the same word in the Hebrew, Elohim, that is the same word that is used in Genesis 1:26, when God says, let us make man in our image. Notice that plural pronoun, our. Well, Jesus was the one he was talking to, as well as the Holy Spirit. You find that in Genesis 1, verse 2. The Spirit of God moved upon the waters. And so you have the Father, you have the Son, and you have the Holy Spirit. All are deity, therefore God, which is the really the idea of there, of the God. And then you go to Romans chapter 1 and talk about the Godhead as well as in Colossians. And so Jesus is not an attribute of God, but he is in essence God. And so hopefully that question, Leon, has been answered in your mind. And again, just go to those scriptures. And another one is in the book of Hebrews that also kind of tells us the situation and the relationship of Jesus with God. That's Hebrews chapter 1. And if you could read verses 1 through 4, that would be a good passage for you to read. So Hebrews 1, 1 through 4, John chapter 1, verse 1, and Genesis 1, 26, all of those will be very helpful to you to realize that Jesus is not an attribute, but he is God, he is deity, and one with him. So we appreciate that question, Leon.
It's just about time for us to go to our next break. And while we are at break, we want you to know that you can continue to call in your questions. The number is 308-9564. That's 308-9564. That's the number for the voice line. And you can call in your questions to that number. If you would rather text us, you can text us at 725-9283. That's 725-9283. That's the text line. And you can text in your question, and we'll be glad to answer it on today's broadcast. Please know that we are honored to be able to serve you, and all we seek to do is to get the answers directly to you from God's Word. We are not smart. Some people try to glorify us. All we are is just directing you to the Bible. The answers have been there the whole time, ladies and gentlemen. We just don't go there for our answers very often. We want to listen to someone else, the pastor, the preacher, the parent, the world. And thus, you've got all these confusing answers, and you wonder, well, this religion thing is a joke. And you know what? Jesus himself brought out that in John chapter 17. He says he desires for us all to be one, for us to be speaking the same thing. No divisions among us, 1 Corinthians 1. Why are all these different things being spoken in the name of religion? Because man is listening to man. Ladies and gentlemen, please do not do that. That will not get you to heaven. Even if you're listening to us and taking our word for what the Bible says, and you're putting your faith in us, that's why it's so important to let the Bible speak, to find all the answers directly in God's word, because faith comes by hearing and hearing by the word of God. So, isn't it important for you to get into your Bible? I hope you said yes to that. And so, to help you, here's a tool that we'll send to you free. It is absolutely free. We will never ask for any kind of contribution. So please put away your checkbook, put away your donation. We do not ask for any donation at all. Let us give you and help you to mine, to dig out the treasure that is in God's Word. To do that, here's a little course that will help you in that. It is free. All you have to do is call 553-5157. Studying it for yourself will build that faith that comes from God's Word. Romans 10:17 makes that clear. So, now's your time to call. Call 553-5157 for that course to get that course in the mail to you even this week. Now, if you're already one of our students, continue with the questions. You can call our voice line at 308-9564, or you can text us at 725-9283. We'll be right back.
We are so grateful and so thankful for the opportunity today to speak with you and to field these questions and go to God's Word together. This is a Bible study. It's so nice to be able to have a Bible study with people, and you, the listener, are the people that we're having the Bible study with. And so we appreciate so much your interest in God's Word, your being a truth seeker. That's what it's all about, to seek truth. And the way to find truth is in the Scriptures. Jesus said, "You shall know the truth shall set you free." He also said in John 17, sanctify, talking about the apostles, he prayed to the Father, sanctify them with thy word is truth. And then he also prayed in John 17, that the, all who hear the message of the apostles would be one. That message is the Word of God. And so we invite you to participate with us today. We're so grateful for all the people who have already participated, and we are grateful for you who are listening to these things of the Bible, and that you've got your Bible open, you've got your pen, you've got your paper out, and you are writing these scriptures down and to give them a more thorough study after the program. So we invite you to participate at all levels today in our program. You can call us at 308-9564. You can text us at 725-9283. And you can enroll in the free Bible correspondence course by simply dialing 553-5157. And you can leave your name and address. Just follow the instructions that you have on the message there, and we can get that out to you this week. So much good going on here with God and His Word. So we invite you to join us even today.
It's time for Ronald's question. Ronald asks his question. What psalm says to praise God with your heart and tongue and don't use cymbals? Ronald, there's not a psalm that says that, of course. I think you probably knew that. But what God does tell us to do in Hebrews chapter 13 and verse 15 is how to praise Him today. What He says is, chapter 13, Hebrews 13 and verse 15, therefore, by Him let us continually offer the sacrifice of praise to God. That is, the fruit of the cymbals. Nope, it didn't say that, did it? No. Okay, let me read it again. That is, the fruit of the drums. Nope, there we go again. Now, that is recorded in the Old Testament. Psalm 150 talks about organs and cymbals and trembles and all kinds of things, even dance. But what this verse does say, now in the New Testament, that Christ is instructing us in. See, the law of Moses was part of that law that was nailed to his cross, Colossians 2:14. And thus, that is not what we are going to be judged by today. We're going to be judged by what Christ said. Hebrews 1, verse 1 and 2 makes that clear, that now God speaks through His Son, the New Testament. So let me read it without messing it up. Here I go. Therefore, by Him, let us continually offer the sacrifice of praise to God, that is, the fruit of our lips, giving praise to His name. So, Ronald, I hope that was helpful to you. Again, that was Hebrews 13, 15, and also I referenced Colossians 2, verses 14 through 17. Read that carefully, and you'll see the relationship between the Old Testament and the New Testament, which has to be considered in this question. Thank you again, Ronald. Thank you for listening. And we sure do appreciate you listening along with everybody else that is listening today. We're going to do our best to get to all the questions. And if you have some, go ahead and call 308-9564. 308-9564. That is the voice line. And we have more text questions today than we do than voice questions. So if you'd rather text, you can do that as well. The text line is 725-9283, and we will let the Bible speak to the question on your mind. Frederick, I think you have a question there.
Yes, I have a question from last name Eason. Here's a question. Daughter picked up and just leaves her family. Any suggested scripture to help her? She's into sinful activity on the streets, and her husband and mother are left to take care of her children. Okay, this touches a little bit close to home for me because it reminds me of some dynamics I had in my family with parents pursuing certain things that were sinful or being homeless for a time. And let me just say there's a couple things here. Obviously, there's some pull she has. Something is pulling her away from her family that's attractive. That's I don't know what it is, but and you got to also I don't know how much of how spiritual she is. If she's a believer in Christ, if she's a Christian, I don't know if she believes in God. So the reason I say that is because all of this is like leverage in a way. If you want somebody to stop doing something bad and do something good, for lack of a better phrase, there's got to be a reason, some leverage. And so here's what I'm getting at. I'm going to read to you a verse that's pretty strong leverage that you don't want to abandon your kids. Because if you abandon your kids, and here's the passage. In Luke chapter 17, he said to his disciples, "It is inevitable that stumbling blocks come, but woe to him through whom they come." Then he goes on and says, "It would be better for him if a millstone were hung around his neck and he were thrown into the sea, than that he would cause one of these little ones to stumble," talking about children. This is so important. Obviously, you want her to be back with her husband and children and to be close to her mother, but there's something pulling her away, something sinful. Satan's very good at what he does. So I would try to understand where she's at and help her realize her responsibility to her family. That may not do it. You have to also, I would share a passage with her. You could go to John 3. You can go to actually a better one is 1 John chapters, 4th and 5th chapters. Talk about how much God loves all of us, including your daughter. This is how much God loves your daughter. See, sometimes we feel guilty about things and it's hard to accept God's love. I would impress upon her the love that God has for her and how God knows where she's at and he's wanting her to change her life and come to the Lord. And taking care of her family, being there for her husband and children is also part of that. The reason God made a family is so parents can help teach the children about God. And so that's what I would share off the top of my head is that I would really help emphasize God's love for her and that God expects better. He wants to help her with more. But I would also impress upon her the responsibility she has to not cause her children to stumble. If she's a mom, she loves her kids, and it's going to be tough for her. And the best way for her to not let her children stumble is for her to be an example and turn toward the Lord and follow God's word.
Yes, we have a live caller. And Gadsden, is that the name? Yes, sir. Are you there?
Yes.
Gadsden, are you there?
Yeah,
we're still not here. Okay, barely can hear you. Go ahead.
Okay, what I want to say, I was listening to the Catholic radio one day, and the Catholic them saying that the Bible needs to be rewritten. Yeah, what do you think with that? They say they got to change rewrite the Bible. So do they have any rights to do that?
Okay, I think we get the flavor of your question about the Bible. Should it be rewritten? Is that what you're asking?
The Catholic Church was talking about that.
Yeah. Okay. Well, very good question. Matter of fact, we have another question. If you want to, you can hang up, and we will go to the answer because we have another question very similar to that we can answer both of these at the same time. Okay. And here's another question: is how many versions of the Bible are there? And which one should we have? Well, I really appreciate, Gadsden, your question and also the caller, the text in 862. They want to know about the translations of the Bible. And thus, there's a number of translations out there that are not very good. And so if someone in the Catholic Church like that said that it needs to be rewritten, well, it's not based on what was written in the beginning, because what was written in the beginning was absolutely perfect and inspired of God. And so we have ancient copies of those books of what was written in the first century. You might think there are a number of questions, a number of things that were written throughout history, but that claim to be the Word of God that are not. So here's the bottom line. Is we study God's Word, we need to make certain that we have a word-for-word translation, a word-for-word translation. Now, the ones that are out in the bookstores today that are word-for-word are King James, New King James, New American Standard, American Standard, and ESV is the most popular, which is a really good word-for-word translation. Most of the time on this radio broadcast, you hear us quoting from New King James and the New American Standard. And so, but all of those are good translations, and they do not mess up or change any significant things in God's Word that would prevent anyone from going to heaven. Now, language changes constantly. The word gay in my lifetime has changed meaning. There's many other words that have changed in my lifetime. So our language is ever changing. But the original scriptures, especially the New Testament, were written in the most precise language of all time in mankind, Koine Greek. And so it is very exact and very clear. And so there's ongoing translations going on, if you will, which are really good. For example, the ESV is fairly new, and it is a very good word-for-word translation. As far as someone just trying to discard the Bible, I would not walk. I would run as quick as you could away from that individual, whoever they are, because they're trying to establish their own way of righteousness. Galatians chapter 1, verse 8, Paul himself said, "Though we are an angel from heaven, preach any other gospel to you than what we have preached to you, let him be accursed. As I said before, so now I say again." God says, told us once, now he's telling us again. If anyone preaches, teaches any other doctrine, teaching than what we have taught you, preached to you, let him be accursed. And that word accursed, ladies and gentlemen, it is like a super curse. It is not just like, I curse you. No, this is talking about obliteration, like killing a fruit fly with a sledgehammer. Now, how many of us want God to do that to us? Well, Paul sure didn't, and he warned us about it, and he was also included in that warning when he said, we. And this was an angel from heaven also included in that warning. So, how about today? You think we can get away with that? I don't think so. Because you know who's going to have the last say in this matter as we stand before him on that great and noble day. Thank you so much, both of you, that asked this question about the translations and the Bible. We want to encourage everyone. We've got two-thirds of the program behind us and one-third left, so don't miss out on getting your question in. The number is 308-9564. That is the number to voice line, or you can text us if you'd rather, 725-9283, and we will let the Bible speak to the question that is on your mind. Now, if you want the Bible correspondence course that we've told you about, if you're a new listener and never have gotten this course in the mail, well, what are you waiting on? Go ahead and get it in the mail to you. It is free. The number to get that course in the mail to you is 553-5157. Here's more information on it. While we are at break, those of you that have questions, continue to call in, and we will go to the Bible for the answers to the questions on your mind. We'll be right back. Ladies and gentlemen, you remember probably seeing either in cartoon form or maybe some old TV program where someone was out in the field that was plowing their garden with a mule. You remember that picture? You remember that movie? Hopefully you can relate to what I'm about to say. If you remember, on the head of that mule, there were these two little half-moon cups over the eyes of that mule. And the reason for that was to prevent the mule from being distracted and taken off, lickety-split, in the wrong direction. It was blinders that they put on that mule to where that they could only see straight ahead. And thus, they were able to plow the field with somewhat of a straight row. And so that was something that was done for a long time, for many, many hundreds of years, I would take it. And thus we understand from history what blinders are. Now, ladies and gentlemen, I want to ask you a question. Has the devil put blinders on you to prevent you from looking around and seeing some things that he doesn't want you to see? Oh. You might say, well, what do you mean by that? Well, that's exactly what I mean. In 2 Corinthians chapter 4, it talks about how that the God of this world is blinding this age. Verse 4 says, whose mind the God of this age has blinded, who do not believe, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine on them. He has blinded, he has distracted, he has kept people from finding the truth. He lets them know or allows them to see just enough to where that they're satisfied. Satisfied with their religious behavior, where they're at, and they've made them comfortable to where that they are entertained or they feel just secure as can be and have no qualms with and feel no need to do any further investigation. Ladies and gentlemen, that is not what we should be allowing to happen to us. What we should be doing is to make certain that we are not blinded. We are not being puppeted by the devil, that he is not pulling our strings, but rather we are letting God attach his strings to us so that he can be the potter and us the clay. Wouldn't you rather that be to where that you can trust and obey in God? There is no other way. We sing about that, don't we? Well, there's only one way that we can get rid of those blinders that either the devil through the world or the devil through maybe religious doctrines, to get rid of those blinders and to find the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth. Oh, you've heard that phrase before, haven't you? Where have you heard it before? Well, in a court of law. And what was it that they had their hand on? The Bible. So let's let the truth, the whole truth and nothing but the truth, be put in our lives as we study his word for ourselves. Why not enroll in this Bible correspondence course? Maybe you've put this off for a long time. Well, don't put it off anymore. It is free. You can ask any one of our Bible students at any time, and they will tell you, yes, there is never any charge whatsoever. There is not even any suggestion that you would give a contribution. We want to give you the gold, the treasure that is in God's Word. So go ahead and call 553-5157 and enroll in this course. It is free, absolutely free, for the truth and nothing but the truth. That's just the way it should be. We're not going to haggle you. We're not going to try to intimidate you in any way, because Jesus didn't do it. The apostles didn't do it. Neither should we. Go ahead and get it in the mail to you this week, 553-5157, and we'll be glad to send it to you absolutely free. And so I think we're ready for our next question now. Frederick is our guest today from out of town. And those of you that are interested in hearing more teaching that from God's Word, we're having a series of meetings in Goose Creek, and we would be glad for you to come and join us both Monday, Tuesday, and Wednesday at 7 o'clock. And thus, we would be glad to meet you face-to-face, and you can meet Frederick and hear God's Word spoken in its simplicity and truth each of those nights of this week. And so that address is 105 Maryland Street in Goose Creek. If you have any questions about that, you can call the text line, and we'll be glad to help you. That text number is 725-9283, and you can join us Monday, Tuesday, or Wednesday, and we'll be glad to meet you in person as we study God's Word together. Frederick's got the next question, and Frederick?
Okay, the next question is, give me 1 second. Oh, the next question is, does God care about us or what we do? By last four digits, 4416. This is a great question. And I first of all, before we even jump into the Bible, I want to say absolutely he cares about us and what we do. Absolutely. Let's get a few basics out of the way. We have a verse in 1 John 4, verse 8, that says, God is love. See, it's not just that he loves us. He is love. And when we have a God who is love, that means everything he does for us is out of his love for us. So I'm going to give you a few principles. Sometime I want you to go to Matthew chapter 6 and just read it. While you're there, read Matthews 5, 6, and 7 chapters, because there's a few things in Matthew 6 that are very powerful. In talking about what's private, verse 18, Jesus says, "Your Father who sees what is done in secret will reward you." God cares about what you do, not just in front of people, but he cares about what you do when you're alone, in private. He cares, and he sees you. He's watching you. In that same chapter of Matthew chapter 6, Jesus is addressing the worry for food and clothes, and Jesus compares us to animals and birds and the plants, and how we're more valuable to them. Verse 26 says, "Look at the birds of the air, that they do not sow, nor reap, nor gather into barns, and yet your heavenly Father feeds them." He says, "Are you not worth much more than they?" You see, when God made us in his image, according to Genesis chapter 1, he gave us a special gift. He absolutely cares about us as his special creation. And I want to share one other thing here. In Matthew chapter 7, after telling us to ask, it will be given to you. This is verse 7 and following. "And you will seek and you'll find, knock, it will be opened to you." We jump to verse 9. He says, "What man among you, when his son asks for a loaf of bread, will give him a stone? Or if he asks for a fish, that man won't give him a snake, will he?" That's kind of funny when you think about it. But Jesus makes the point. "If you then, being evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father who is in heaven give what is good to those who ask him?" Absolutely, God cares about you, he loves you, and he cares about what you do, whether it's in public or private. Great question.
All right, we have coming up on our break now, and we're going to have you listen to another encouragement to take the Bible correspondence course. That is such an important thing. So listen real carefully, and you may hear something that will just click in your mind that'll motivate you to call 553-5157 and said, "I need to study the Bible more carefully." So listen to this, and we will see you in a little bit.
We are back live now. We want you to know that you are our honored guest. We thank you so much for your interest in going to the Bible and wanting to know what God says in his word. It is so very important that we find out what God says, because if we get it wrong and we leave this life, there is no U-turning. There is no turning back. We do not get another chance. Contrary to popular belief today, there is no second chance. It's not a matter of living back through the tribulation and making it through that to get a second chance. Ladies and gentlemen, there is no second chance. We've got to get it right here and now. In 2 Peter chapter 3, and I think we had a question left over from last week about this. 2 Peter chapter 3, beginning with verse 9, it talks about the day of the Lord coming as a thief in the night, in which the heavens will be destroyed, the earth and the works that are therein will be destroyed. It mentions it twice. And so when Christ comes back, that is it for this universe as we know it. It will only be a spiritual realm. Then it'll be heaven, and it will be the eternal place for those who will be punished, called Gehenna or hell or many other names. So please, let's get it right now. Go ahead and enroll in the course and find out how to change your eternal destiny. There's only one way to do it, and that is to follow the truth that God brought us. And simply, you can go and call 553-5157, enroll in this course, and we will be glad to send you this course in the mail free of charge. Literally thousands of you in this area have enrolled in this, and there have been many of you that have taken it and actually applied it in your life, and you are to be saluted. Matter of fact, several are here even at the radio station today that have done that. And so we thank you. Thank you for your interest in eternity and putting forth the discipline and the initiative to put first things first and to find what God says. Again, the number to enroll in the course is 553-5157. Call right now. The lines are available. You can enroll in that course absolutely free. We will never charge or even ask for a donation. 553-5157. And we will let the Bible speak. We're going to speed up on some of the answers because of the lack of time. And we have David calling in this question. He wants to know the two kinds of sin of not forgiven. He wants to know about this particular scenario. If a person shoots himself and doesn't die that day, but repents the next day and then dies, what happens? Well, first of all, David, you're asking me to be in the place of God, and I'm not. God is the judge. He's the one that's going to judge us all. He will know the thoughts and intents of the heart. So all we can do is relate to you some verses of Scripture that would apply to that. The first one, Matthew 7:7, where God promises, seek and you will find, knock and it shall be opened to you, ask and it shall be given. That's a promise God gave. And he's willing to even dispatch angels to make that happen. Hebrews 1:14 says, are they not all ministering spirits sent forth to minister to him who has a will to go to heaven? And so even angels can be involved in this. So it all has to do with the person's heart. If they're truly repenting, then they will be given time some way, somehow, to be able to obey God, which includes not just repentance, but also baptism. Yes, you heard me right. That is water baptism. They must not only repent, they've got to believe, they've got to repent, they've got to confess, and they have to die with Christ to walk in newness of life. John 3:5, Jesus even said you've got to be born of water and of spirit. So, yeah, so it includes all those things. So, again, that's Matthew 7:7, Hebrews 1:14, John 3:5, and so Romans 6:3-7. So hopefully that's helpful to you, David. Thank you so much for your question. Steve?
Yes, we have a question from Leon. Leon wants to know that since in the book of Genesis, the days were called day one, day two, etc., now we have heathen names like Sunday, Monday, Sun's Day, Moon's Day, etc. Will we be held accountable for using these heathen names? Well, that's an interesting question. I don't know that I've ever been asked that question, but there are a couple of verses that talk about that. Not necessarily days of the week, but the practice of idolatry and how that impacted New Testament Christianity. Two passages, 1 Corinthians 8 and verse 4, as Paul talks about things, the eating that were offered to idols. Now, notice what he says here. Therefore, concerning the eating of things offered to idols, we know that an idol is nothing in the world and that there is no other God but one. He goes on to say that, but food does not commend us to God. This is verse 8. For neither if we eat are we the better, nor if we do not eat are we the worse. So when you think about eating things that were offered to idols, he said an idol is nothing. Whether we do or we don't doesn't make any difference. He does go on to say in that context that you ought not do something that will cause a brother to stumble. And then in 1 Corinthians 10, he deals with that situation again, and he mentions there that all things are lawful for me, but not all things are helpful. All things are lawful for me, but not all things edify. He goes on in verse 25, eat whatever sold in the meat market, asking no questions for conscience sake. For the earth is the Lord's and all its fullness. So in those principles, he is talking about even eating meat that was offered to an idol, that just eating that meat doesn't make you a worshiper of an idol. He goes on to say in verse 31, therefore, whether you eat or drink or whatever you do, do all to the glory of God. Give no offense either to the Jews or the Gentiles or to the church of God. And so I think those principles there can be helpful to you as you try to think about this days of the month, days of the week. Again, as Paul said, an idol is nothing. So, Leon, we appreciate that question and appreciate your questions that you've given to us today.
Okay, we have a question by last four digits. This is a text question, 9919. It's actually two questions combined. How many times can a person be reborn? Is that different from repentance? Okay, I'm going to give you an answer right away, and I'm going to back it up with the Bible. These are great questions. How many times can a person be reborn? Once. Is that different from repentance? Yes, and I'll explain what I mean. If you want a great definition of repentance, it's in 2 Corinthians chapter 7, verse 10, which calls it godly sorrow. It says, when godly sorrow, when your heart's broken because it goes against God, that leads to life. But worldly sorrow doesn't. It's kind of like when you're only sorry you got caught. Well, what about being reborn? The clearest passage that describes that, it was just referenced a minute ago. I'm going to read it. Romans 6, verses 3 and 4. Romans 6, 3 and 4 read, "Or do you not know that all of us who have been baptized into Christ Jesus have been baptized into his death? Therefore, we have been buried with him through baptism into death, so that as Christ was raised from the dead through the glory of the Father, so we too might walk in newness of life." That is the rebirth point. It happens only once. And here we see that. I'm going to give you a scripture to look at. Acts chapter 8. Read verses 4 through 24. The whole chapter is great to illustrate the point, but we have Philip preaching in Samaria. People believe what he's preaching, and they're baptized. They believe the word, they're believers, and they're baptized. Well, there's a guy who commits a sin, Simon the sorcerer. And Peter tells him after he sins, he doesn't tell him to be baptized again. Now that he's been baptized and reborn, he tells him to repent and pray for forgiveness. Repentance is when you change or turn. And so that happens our whole life. If I sin, I need to repent and pray to God for forgiveness every time I sin. But I'm only baptized once. I hope that helps.
Again, the number is 308-9564, or you can text us at 725-9283. A quick question from a text question is, how are we to worship in church? Well, thank you so much for your question from 113 and your phone number, and so we thank you for that. I want to just give you the references for you to study. That would be John chapter 4, verse 23 and 24. And part of that worshiping God in spirit and in truth includes what is not commonly done today, which is elaborated in 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verses 23 through 27, talking about the Lord's Supper. It was commanded to be part of the worship. And when it says as often, it doesn't say there how often they ate of that bread and drank of that cup. You have to go to Acts chapter 20 and verse 7 to find out how often they ate it and drank it. And that was on the first day of the week, and every week has a first day in it. And so that's what their church commonly did. The Bible brings it out. History also brings it out. Well, we are out of time, and we are just so thankful that you have joined us today. We just have a question here we're going to have to bring over till next week, talking about Christ as the head of the church. Gina, we want you to know that we're going to actually be talking about this on Wednesday evening. If you would come out, we would be glad to have you join us at 105 Maryland Street at 7 o'clock, and we will be talking about the relationship of Christ in the church to the family. So try to come out. Thank you, everyone, for listening, and until next week, this is Frederick and Ricky and Steve bidding you a pleasant good afternoon, and until next week, let the Bible speak in your life.